Have you ever heard footsteps creaking up your stairs when you knew that you were alone? What would you do if you heard your voice called out and no one was there? Have you ever turned your flashlight on only to be terrified by the sight in front of you? Today, we test the believability of the drenched floating woman.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. I hope everybody had a fantastic Thanksgiving if you celebrate it. I hope you didn't spend too much money on Black Friday. I hope you got some great deals.
Cyber Monday's coming up, so.
It just passed.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I hope you had a great Cyber Monday. It hasn't happened yet for us. We're recording. I feel like we haven't done a traditional. When's the last time we had like 3 weeks of traditional recording?
What do you mean?
Like three Thursdays in a row. I feel like it's been like a Friday. You know, it's like now we're doing
months.
Again on a Friday. That's okay. We're flexible.
Yeah, you have to be.
Yeah. Did you get any? It's still today, but either have you or do you have intentions of doing any Black Friday shopping?
Maybe online.
Yeah, yeah. Same. I went out today not to Black Friday shop to get like, you know, cat litter, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was going to go to Target and it was just too busy. I did get myself a, I know you're not supposed to buy yourself stuff. I bought other people's stuff too, all right? I'm just not going to say it on the podcast. But I did get myself a Jarrett Allen, a.k.a. Ferret Allen jersey. They're really cheap.
Okay.
Like $50 for a jersey, an NBA jersey. Too. NBA jersey is like $120.
It's a good deal for a jersey.
Yeah. Normally they're like $120. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Black Friday or Jarrett Allen and the Cavs, who are back on a good winning streak, and I'm very happy about that. We're here to talk about ghosts. Spooky stories. It's listener submission time.
Yeah, the title of this is pretty intense.
The Drenched Floating Woman.
Oh my God.
The Soggy. Is there what? The Soggy Senorita. Get that alliteration.
It feels like a title that would be in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Sure. No, yeah. I can see that. So I'm continuing the trend that I like to do. We got our little intro story, which is separate from the title, it's separate from the main episode. But, you know, just to kind of get through a couple extra listener submissions so that people get their stories told. But I like to get a little short story out in front so that it gets its shine, but we can, it's not quite a listener submission collection. Yeah. So that said, let's move on to our first story. All right. So this story comes to us from Juan, and it's in Florida.
Okay. Cool. Love Florida. What part of Florida?
That's not said. So it's somewhere. In Florida.
All right. So it's nice. Tropical.
Tropical. Yeah. It's probably not Disney. So I know that's where you're most familiar.
I am. Not even a joke.
True. No, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not really familiar. I guess what's sad is I'm probably most familiar with Miami now. And I'm not the biggest fan. All right. So this is Juan's story. Quote, for a little context, I am an EMT firefighter in Florida. And I don't really believe in a lot. I would say that I'm a man of science. And I would say a lot of things have explanations, but this left me questioning a lot. I was working about a week ago on the 1st of June. Pause. Let me just say, these stories that I'm talking about today are old. and this is just further proof that
yeah,
we're a little backed up.
This is June of this year? Probably.
Maybe.
I think so.
Maybe. But it's also, yeah, I guess he did say a week ago. I'm just saying that if you submit your story to us, one, thank you and we appreciate you. Two, we're going to try and get better at actually hitting you back up and saying we got your submission. But three, it's safe. We got it. It is in our drive and we will get to it.
It's going
to
be a while.
It's going to be a while, yeah. But we will get to it. If you slide in like a five digitally, like a Starbucks gift card, maybe sooner.
Could be.
We can be bribed. We're not above that.
I'm not.
but seriously, we do appreciate the submissions.
But seriously, we can't be bribed.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the story. So at this time, about a week ago, my supervisor informed me that we lost a regular patient that we typically took treatments on. And the day before, I lost my uncle-in-law, so it was a sad morning to say the least. I was checking the trunk out when my partner for the day comes up and informs me that his uncle had passed the night before too. So it seemed odd, but I told him that I was sorry for his loss, and I kept it pretty non-personal, as I typically like to do due to our line of work. I would say about halfway through the day, we were at the hospital about to transport a patient when the nurses had informed us the patient's husband had passed away the same day and was not in the best mood, understandably so. So I turned to my partner and said, "Man, the Grim Reaper is really out these 2 days taking people." And he said, "Yeah, it's been a crazy few weeks." So we had the patient loaded and started heading towards the elevator since we were on the fourth floor. And right as we took the turn and as I went to press the button, before I even get the chance to press it, the elevator doors opened, but not the way that they normally would open. It was slower and it was making this really strange scraping noise. There was no one in the elevator and there was no one else around that might have pressed the button. So me and my partner both looked at each other a little bit confused and honestly kind of freaked out. And he said, "Let's leave that one and we'll call it again." So we did, and we transported her with no other issues or weird things happening until we got her in the room. As I was leaving the room to finish my report, I noticed immediately how empty the hallway was. We finished the call, and as I was sitting at the end of the hallway and I'm writing my report for the patient, I hear someone say, "Juan, help me." Someone calling my name for help, I instantly stood up and checked the rooms, but there was nothing there. So I asked a nurse who was down a different hallway than the one I was in if she heard the cry for help and asked if anyone was in the hallway. She said no one else was there due to renovations. So all I could do is grab the paperwork, scared and confused, and just start walking. And like I said, I don't really believe in ghosts or spooky things, but this particular instance had me questioning a lot. Unquote.
The elevator part made me think of something. Have you ever heard of the elevator game?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Isn't it? It's like you do like a random list of things and then you go on the elevator and it brings you to like a place that like a, it opens up somewhere you're not supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
It also reminds me of the Cecil Hotel.
Right? Supposed to.
Yeah. With the lady in the, well, we're gonna spoil it, you know, one day.
Well, I think so. I think that might be an interesting idea for a topic.
See, oh yeah. I've had Cecil Hotel written down for a long time.
It's a scary place.
So the main discussion for this episode will be on the next topic, the next set of stories. So yeah. I kind of want to have a mini discussion here on what you think. What were your thoughts? What are your opinions on what you just heard?
I'm curious if that voice sounded like anyone that the Juan knew, or if it's just a random kind of voice, like almost like a like an NPC kind of voice.
I think it was random because if it was somebody he recognized, I think he would have said that, or I think he would have called out to him or said like, "I was expecting to see so-and-so." I would assume that it wasn't. And the way that he kind of framed it is, it was like, and it was mentioned as, not like a joke, but kind of a side comment, was the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
So it's like, I wonder if he was thinking it might have been that, like this entity that's been collecting a lot of people around him at that time that he just happened to brush past in the hallway. But I don't know why he'd be asking him for help.
Yeah, he's like, "Juan, you want to help me out? Go smother that lady for me?" Like,
yeah, save me.
I don't know about
that. It's a holiday week and I'm trying to get out early.
Got a couple places. You got to get the kids some presents.
4th of July is coming up for them, you know, in June. Mm. We're far away from June right now.
Yes, we are. It's interesting. I wonder if Juan has had other experiences.
I would like to know Juan's opinion on the elevator doors, because the people passing away is strange and coincidental, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's sad, but I don't really put much weight to it. But the elevator door creaking and opening with no one around, unless it's something usual for that elevator, which he seems that it's not.
It's a hospital. I don't know. Maybe it's.
Yeah. Also, like, he left her room and was in the hallway where he heard the voice, but she said there was no one else there because they're renovating it. So. What was the patient doing there?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I have some questions. We don't have to rate it. It's not the main episode. But the elevator part stuck out to me. And anytime anybody hears a voice call out, it really creeps me out. And
yeah.
I mean, hospitals are so many horror movies and horror games and you know, paranormal entertainment.
There's so much energy in hospitals.
Yeah, it's like if you think of like a scary... If someone's hospital and they're like, think of a scary moment or a scary movie from a hospital, I'm pretty sure most people can think of at least one. Mm-hmm. I can think of multiple. Like, I know Deadly Premonition, you're in a hospital.
Games in hospitals?
The Leprechaun, the first movie, you go to a hospital. It's like you're in the, it's a psychiatric hospital.
Some scary hospital stuff in Fallout.
The 4? Like, which one?
4, yeah.
With the dog, the Doge.
Yeah, he is also in the game.
Is Bark Bark Dunko in there? It's scary.
Yes.
I don't like getting shots. You're not getting me neutered, right? All right. Well, with that said, thank you, Juan, for submitting your story. Let's move on to the main content. Okay, so moving on to the main episode, it's brought to us from Alyssa.
Okay, cool.
And Alyssa lives and was born and raised in Hawaii.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so not quite Florida. I used to think Hawaii was like just south of Florida.
Oh, no.
Like I used to think like, yeah, you keep going and then it's Florida and then it's the Keys and then it's Hawaii.
To be fair, there's a lot of like islands that are around there.
Yeah, it's but like west, right? Like you have to go from California to Hawaii.
Yeah, it's
well, you don't have to, but that's like the...
It's like a little south, kind of between California and Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been, so... Have you been to Hawaii?
No.
We going to Hawaii?
I hope so.
All right.
Hawaii is very cool.
We shouldn't get a state board and...
A state board. Oh, I understand.
Like a board, a poster frame thing, wooden, preferably of the states... And when we travel, and so this is like a 15-year plan, but when we when we travel and we do an episode in that state there, we can put a little pin in it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that like 8 years from now, we'll be looking back at these episodes in like director's cuts and be like, remember when we were talking about doing all the traveling for episodes and now we're actually doing it?
Yeah.
Or maybe cool. The podcast won't be around in 8 years and we'll be like, no one will be listening. But anyway, it's called Volcano Hawaii.
Cool.
Which is... very ironic. I feel like that's like, I live in Cornfield, Ohio, but that doesn't make sense to you. Mm. So maybe like potholes and gray skies, Ohio.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's where I live. So let's do some of the outlining and of the setting and the groundwork here. She didn't quite give me a blueprint of where the kitchen is in relation to the bathroom.
Okay.
But I still want to give like some type of general so you can, you know, envision where we're at right now. Besides, because you might picture like a tropical beach.
Mm-hmm.
And like a drink with a straw and a coconut.
This is not that.
Nope. I mean, it's there, but it's not that.
Right.
So she says the volcano is deep in the Hawaiian rainforest, which I also didn't know was a thing. So it's a densely wooded forest, and she said it can actually get pretty chilly in there, which we'll see. And but she also said it gets very foggy.
So I believe that.
This makes for really, really good spooky atmosphere.
Like yeah.
Dense woods and fog.
Yeah. Definitely makes me think of like a scary haunted forest.
So Alyssa grew up on a 7-acre parcel of land in a 2-story home that was built by her father.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's
especially
pretty
for Hawaii.
Pretty significant. And her father was a contractor, so he was always building houses. And she lived with her parents and her older sister. And again, like they were pretty isolated. So it's wooded, densely forest. It can get chilly. So they're in hoodies, I guess.
What is chilly in Hawaii? Like
40s.
60 degrees?
40s is what she said.
Yeah.
Foggy and isolated. She said that the nearest neighbor to their house was like about a half a mile away. So it's, I mean, if someone's looking up online how to do the setting for a horror movie, isolation, like foggy.
Scary environment.
Like that feeling of I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
So that check. Good job. Alyssa, living a horror movie. So since she lived in the middle of nowhere with not too many homes nearby, she also said it would get very, very dark at night, which I'm jealous of. So like minimal light pollution, so a bunch of stars and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it just adds to it. So it's like foggy, dark, isolated. Mm-hmm. It's all good stuff, low light pollution. She said there's a lot of supernatural lore associated with the Hawaiian Islands.
There are.
Yeah, I'm not super familiar, to be honest. I don't think we're going in anything specific here. If something that gets brought up feels very, very specific to you, let me know.
I don't know that much. I know there's a lot, but I do know some of the most horrifying stories I've ever heard come out of Hawaii.
Really?
Yeah. On podcasts and stuff. There's a lot there.
I don't know why. Cool. I would imagine the most horrifying things coming from Australia.
Just bugs, man.
Just big bugs. Just
giant spiders.
Yeah, they scare ghosts away. Even ghosts are like, I ain't f***ing with that.
Crikey, mate, that's giant. That's Steve Irwin.
That is Steve. We need an Australian voice changer. I don't know if they can do that?
No. No.
They should. But with that said, we got the setting out of the way. Let's move on to Alyssa's encounters. All right, this is her encounter one. Quote, "The first occurrence I remember clearly. I was about 8 years old and I was upstairs reading a book and just hanging out. My parents and my sister were at our neighbor's house. We had this calico cat who would go in and out of the house and scratch at the back door to alert us as what she wanted. And I hear her scratching to go out, so I head downstairs to open the door for her. She runs out, and I distinctly remember closing the door behind her. As I'm heading back up the stairs, I hear her scratching again. As all cat owners know, cats just want what they can't have. So I head back down to let her back in. However, there's my cat sitting inside the house, once again, scratching to go out. Now, I'm incredibly confused and thinking maybe I didn't close the door well enough, or maybe the windows was open, something like that. So I go ahead, let my cat back out, firmly close the door behind her, and checking all the doors and windows to make sure that nothing's open. So everything's closed, and I head back upstairs to resume my reading. A few minutes later, I hear that familiar scratching, scratching, scratching of my cat on the door. So again, I walk downstairs and I see her once again inside scratching to go out. What was initially just confusing quickly turns to fear. Something isn't adding up. I check all the doors, windows, everything, and my cat isn't acting strange or scared or anything. So again, finally, I let her out, and this time I lock the door behind her, deadbolt and all. I'm back upstairs after a few minutes, and once again, I'm fully engrossed in my book. And that's when I hear it. The distinct sound of footsteps coming up my stairs. The steps are slow, almost cautious. I freeze, barely breathing, as I strain my ears as if to convince myself, no, I'm actually not hearing this. I'm not hearing these steps. I'm not hearing what I'm hearing. But it really is, without a doubt, someone coming up the stairs. Now, as a country girl, I was always taught to grab a weapon and confront. Dogs barking, go outside and check. Weird noises, grab a bat and investigate. So, grabbing the heavy book I was reading, I slowly slide off the bed and tiptoed my front door. My book held in front of me like a shield, I peer down the hall and towards the stairs. And there's nothing there. Nothing. No intruder, no parents coming from the neighbor's house, nothing on the stairs. As I step out into the upstairs hallway, I hear the inquisitive meow of my calico cat, who's sitting without a care inside the kitchen. And the front door is still deadbolted and all the windows tightly closed. Unquote.
How the cat get inside?
Yeah, it almost makes it seem like, what is she letting out?
Yeah.
There's many concerns. Yeah. With this first encounter, because there's...
I thought it was maybe like a time loop, because she goes to open the cat, and then she's reading, and then the cat wants to go back out again.
You know, based on the second encounter, there's three encounters. Let me just say it up front. There's three things we're going to get to.
Yeah.
That was one. Based on what happens in the second encounter, I don't completely think the time loop idea is crazy, because... So let me plant this for you. So she hears the cat scratching it out, and she lets it out. And then she comes up, and then it loops. She hears the scratching, lets it out, goes back up, loops.
Yep.
Goes back out, lets it out again, goes back upstairs. Time jumps forward. Her parents are coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Then it loops. And then
the cat's scratching again.
Yeah. Or they're not there.
Yeah.
Like, when she opens the door, she hears her parents maybe coming home late. Like, they're cautiously tiptoeing because it's nighttime and they don't want to wake her.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's later in the... So whenever she's reading, it's later in the day when they're coming home. Maybe it's at night. I don't know. And then she hears it in real time, but it's another loop. So then when she opens the door, she's back in the present. It's almost like the door. Like,
yeah.
It's almost like... It's not like the outside door. It's like her door, her bedroom door.
Yeah,
like
it's the... What's it called?
The gateway?
Yeah, I was going to say...
You probably have a better word for it.
Catalyst, the...
No, the catalyst is kind of... Like, it's the... It's the trigger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Perfect.
Yeah. It's crazy because there's so many different angles. It's like, is there something outside scratching? What's happening with the cat?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that the cat was getting in? Whose footsteps?
Yeah. It's interesting because the cat's not scared at all, too. You think he was like a ghost or something like that, the cat would be like, oh, God. Ah.
Yeah. Or hissing or something. Yeah. Maybe calicos, they just don't care.
I don't know.
Have you ever had a calico cat?
No, but I like them.
Furry. We had one My parents used to have one. It was an outside cat. Lacey. Ethan always called her Lacey.
Genetically, they're all female, right?
That's what they say.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah.
Like they have to be a female if they're calico.
Yes. Growing their hair out. I have long hair, so that's fine.
It's true.
So that is the first encounter. Is there any, I mean, we're going to obviously get to this in discussion, but while it's fresh in your mind and while you have no other biases, are there any other things you want to touch on? Any other things you want to say?
Definitely scary. Like, I don't know how the cat keeps getting inside if it's not a time loop. If it's something else, how is the cat coming inside? Is whatever it is shutting the door really quietly?
Maybe like that, hear it? See, that could be the thing. It's like, actually, that's probably... So instead of like a time loop, it is somehow this thing is getting in the house, and when it's coming in, the cat's coming back in too.
Yeah.
And then immediately wants back out.
Right. Well, that sounds like a cat though.
And the cat wants out because it's in the house.
Maybe.
Oh, cat's like, peace.
But it's not scared at all. It's just kind of there. Yeah,
I don't know. I think it's interesting too. Like, I don't, anywhere has country. Like, even in New York, the state of New York, you can be a country person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just funny. Like, raised as a country girl, it's like, you're in Hawaii. Like, you're a beach bum, but you're not. Like,
I get it.
It's stereotypes and like, not perspective. What's the word I'm looking for? It's like false pretense. I guess stereotypes is probably, you just imagine everyone in Hawaii is a beach bum. Everybody in California surfs and lives on the beach. All right. Well, we'll come back to it in the discussion. But that said, are you ready to move on to encounter two?
Yeah. A question though, really quick. Did she say which island it was in Hawaii? Are we allowed to know that?
I think she said it. I swear she said the Big Island.
Okay. That's a thing.
Yeah. So I think it's the Big Island.
Which is a name.
We can look up Volcano.
Is it the town is called Volcano?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Look at that. Ooh, it's right on the...
On the Big Island. What's that
It's on
called?
The Big Island, and it's Island of Hawaii.
No.
Yeah.
Is that one... That one's just called Island of... I guess so, huh?
It's on the central eastern side of the Big Island of Hawaii. If you need to ground yourself locationally, that's where we're at.
Volcano, Hawaii.
Yes. Encounter two, there's a quick note before we get into this one. She wanted to acknowledge the fact that the area is strange and weird, and she obviously believes in unusual things, paranormal things happening in Hawaii in itself, and that there's other smaller encounters she's had throughout this time. These are just like the three bigger ones.
Gotcha. Okay, so there's other stuff that are just not as notable.
Yeah, like these aren't the only three things that's ever happened to her. These are just the three that she wants to talk about.
That's good to know, because I probably would have asked that question.
Yeah, now you don't have to. Now you already know. All right, back to the stories. Quote, the second important occurrence happened when I was a little older, maybe 10 or 11. I was riding my bike, as most kids do, on a sunny Saturday afternoon, up and down the driveway. It was a super clear day, not a cloud in the sky. The birds were singing, and there was a nice summer breeze. My driveway was pretty long, with a tall wooden gate fronting the property. At this time, the gate was open, and I was riding as fast as I could. Flying up the driveway toward the open gate, I suddenly see in front of me a pitch black wall of darkness. It's hard to explain, but I'm going to try my best. And it appeared without warning. It didn't grow. It didn't become dark or anything. It was just there. It almost looked like a void, just this blackness. The edges were slightly fuzzy, but I remember being rectangular, filling the entire space of the driveway between the open gates. Going as fast as I was terrified of crashing into this thing. So I swerved my bike, and I completely ate it, skinning my leg in the process. As I stared down at the blood beginning to bloom from the wound on my leg, I took a second to remember, obviously, the black wall. But when I looked up, it was gone. I told my mom immediately about what happened, and she actually took me to the doctor to get some tests because she was afraid there might have actually been something wrong with my brain. But of course, the doctors found nothing. Unquote.
That's pretty weird. What do you think?
I think this could somehow tie into the time loop. That could be a gateway.
To the past.
Or just, the future. Just a loop. Like, like if you think about, I don't know if anyone's ever watched the Stephen King movie, The Langoliers. It's about a plane that is flying. I'm spoiling, right? Spoiling it. Give me spoilers. Plane was flying in the sky, and the pilots must have been too busy filming things with their iPhones. Because it goes right into this huge, like, light orby, like, huge gateway thing. and everybody who is awake on the plane disappears, and everybody who was sleeping stayed on the plane, and they woke up later, and they end up realizing that they're in a standstill. Like, food doesn't taste good, beer is flat, like, it's like time does not exist. And then there's these creatures called the Langoliers that come and they like eat up the past.
Yeah, they look like meatballs.
You've seen it.
I've seen the clip.
Yeah. So they have to go back through that time loop, time jump, or there's a word like black hole. Something, it's like a black hole, essentially.
Like a wormhole?
Wormhole, black hole, something like that. So they needed to fly. They needed to somehow get fuel to fly. I can't remember how they make it ignite. But they needed to get back in the plane, fly back through it. And it's funny because when you see it, you're like, how did the pilot miss this or choose to fly through it?
Mm-hmm.
But then they go back in time, and except for the bad guy. The little girl? I just always remember that because I'm a nostalgia critic. But that's me referencing, obviously, like, and so what if this black rectangle that has fuzzy sides, fuzzy, it's like, it's not fully there. It's like different dimensional.
Right.
You know, it's, so I think there's two options. If we're going believable and we're staying in the paranormal, is one, it could be not based on time, but it could be based on dimension and something is coming in and out of it. Maybe her cat. Maybe her calico cat is.
I do believe her cat could be an extra dimensional creature. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might be. Maybe that's the scratching. Maybe the cat could morph into like a human, not a human, but like a bigger body. And that's the footsteps.
Yeah.
Like a big cat person, a wampus cat. You know, North Carolina and Hawaii, not that different. Both have palm trees.
Yeah. Dude, I don't know. That's really strange.
But do you see what I meant when you brought up the time loop in the first story?
I can see it now that we heard this,
like maybe it's not always there. So it's not like every day she's not experiencing these time loops, or she's not, like, things aren't happening. But the thing would be is like, okay, how would that relate to the first story? Like, just because she saw this black void in her driveway, how could that have presented itself in the first story to make it make sense?
Maybe the cat goes through it. And then it sets it up again.
I wish, and I'm happy you're safe, Alyssa. I'm not saying you should have took one for the team and went through it.
I was like, I wonder what would happen if she went through.
Yeah, next time, Alyssa.
Maybe if you know what? Stick a hand through.
Just a hand. Stick your bloody leg. You wouldn't have got hurt if you'd have went through it. I am
so curious about what that, I don't know if I've heard that idea before, this giant thing.
Yeah, I took a, and it was like perfectly, that it's like, it doesn't feel like a mistake to me because she said it like perfectly filled the driveway.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was almost like blocking. Maybe it's not even, like maybe she only saw that section of it. Maybe her entire house is that. The entire house could be some type of gateway and she just happened to see a sliver of it.
Yeah.
In that
like
moment.
It's like the end of a video game, like a exterior, like a border that became visible.
Or I wonder how old she is now, because maybe that was 2012 and she saw the only proof that we went into a black hole. Earth. Have you heard that theory?
I've heard it. I don't really know it that well, but I've heard it.
I think it's Earth in a.
I want you to do a topic on it.
Well, yeah, I'll do one eventually that's more put together than what I'm about to say. I'm pretty sure it's Earth went through a black hole, and that's why things have been really strange since 2012, so they say, and that's the Mayan calendar, and that time has been going faster. I think it's just different because people, as you get older, time goes faster.
It's true for you because prospectively.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you're 5, you've only had 5 years of experience.
Yeah.
When you're 25, you've had 25 years of experience.
My problem is I always do the, hey, from today until this time is now further from this time to this time. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not quite.
Okay. So in 2017, and I grew up playing Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, and it took place in 1992 and it came out in 2004. In 2017, from when that 2017 to when that video game came out was a longer time than when that game came out to when it took place in 1992.
Wow.
Like 12 years.
That's pretty crazy.
Okay, how about this? When that 70s show came out is now closer to the 70s than that 70s show coming out to today.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Like that type of thing. Like those things are hitting me more and more and more now. Where it's just the time between now and a random moment is longer than what felt like a long time. Like when we were growing up, the 60s is now the 90s to kids of today.
Yeah.
Like that type of a thing.
You know what's wild to me is that this is much farther back, but trees are younger than sharks.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
It's not a personal point in time, but
no.
It's a fact. And it still just makes you think. It's like when they find a random shark or a turtle where you're like, this thing was swimming with the dinosaurs. It's so old. This crusty ass
shark. Not that one.
Sharks. Well, no, there are some sharks.
Not that old.
Maybe. I don't know.
No.
You don't know.
I Yeah, you're technically right. I don't know. Pretty confident.
Maybe not turtle. Maybe just sharks.
Yeah.
Those million-year-old sharks that are just floating around. But anyway, I just thought that was unique, and I actually didn't think of the time loop thing until you brought it up, and having known about the encounter, too, it got me excited.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting idea.
But that said, let's move on to the third and final encounter. Quote, the third encounter, I was 13, and as I mentioned earlier, my dad is a contractor. For the summer, my sister and I would help clean the houses he built prior to the new owners moving in. It was a nice way for us to see the houses and to see my dad working. Plus, it got to earn us a little bit extra spending money for our summer activities. The house my dad had just built was on a property that already had two structures on it. A ranch-style home that was so run down that they ended up having to demolish it and completely rebuild, and a small guest house that was still in good condition, so they ended up keeping the original building and just renovating it. Here are a couple of reports that were made during the rebuilding process. One of his workers reported seeing a woman standing in an upstairs window one evening when he was leaving the job site. My dad himself reported newly installed light fixtures being ripped out of the walls with no sign of forced entry to the house. So naturally, my sister and I were determined to see a ghost when we went up to clean the house that summer day. Of course, not a single thing happened when we were there. No weird vibes. Honestly, there was nothing like that at all. However, that night, I was back in my home, fast asleep, when I suddenly felt like a weight was pressing on my chest. Strangely enough, my sister had just done a report in school on sleep paralysis, so even in my dazed state, I immediately told myself to try to move, and believe it or not, I could, sort of. I used to sleep with a flashlight under my pillow, so even though I couldn't sit up because of the weight on my chest, I was able to reach up under my pillow, pull my flashlight out, and turn it on. But as soon as I did, the weight, which honestly felt like a hand on my chest, pushed me back even harder. I was terrified. Suddenly, I heard what sounded like a sink being turned on, and the sound of running water. I could turn my head, but I was still unable to sit up. This went on for a while. I really had no sense of time, so I'm not sure, but probably like 5 minutes or so. The sound of water got gradually louder and louder until, without warning, the entire room went silent and the weight disappeared off my chest. I turned my head, and there, standing beside me, was a beautiful woman. She was dressed in what can only be described as garb from the early 1900s. She was floating a few inches above the ground and giving off a faint blue glow. It appeared as though she was incredibly wet, like she just came in from a downpour. The woman smiled at me and started laughing. It wasn't an evil, maniacal laugh or anything like that. In fact, it actually sounded really joyful. After a few seconds, she faded away, and I was able to turn on my bedroom light. My flashlight was still on and clenched in my hand. I've never experienced anything like this again, and as I've gotten older, I feel like my connection to this potential other realm has unfortunately gotten pretty dim. But I did follow up with my dad about that exact house several years later, and here are a few things that he noted. So here's four things that her dad mentioned. One, the new owners reported really, quote, typical poltergeist activity when they moved into the house. They said furniture moved around and waste bins were often overturned. Some friends that were staying in the renovated guest house reportedly had books thrown at their heads in the middle of the night. Two, the owners had a small daughter, and like most parents, they had that alphabetical of refrigerator magnets. And the owners told my dad that one morning, they woke up to the magnets arranged spelling the name Catherine, K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E. They were convinced it was a prank. I wasn't there, so I cannot confirm this story. Three, the owners had the house blessed multiple times, but the activity continued. Eventually, they sold the house and moved away. My dad said he thinks that someone else bought it and currently is using it as a bed and breakfast. Bed, breakfast, and haunting.
Yeah.
Four, my dad looked into the history of the house, but couldn't find any associations with the name Catherine. So unfortunately, that is a dead end.
Literally.
Literally. Unquote.
Well, I was under the impression that if you bless a house that has a ghost, but the ghost has no malicious intent, then it's not going to do anything.
So what do you have to do?
You get rid of that? Then you just kind of got to
deal with it.
And
just be happy it's a happy ghost?
Yeah.
That's throwing books at your head?
I don't know.
It's saying read more. Maybe it's books that they it feels like they should be reading.
Yeah.
It's like a journal entry that says who that ghost is. And they're just like, why are you throwing books at me?
It's like it says all the answers about ghosts. All
right. So that is Alyssa's story. Let's move on to the discussion. All right. Before we get to the discussion, we like to stop the episode and thank our newest patrons. And as of the recording of this oddly timed episode, we like to thank Demi and Gabriella. Thank you so much for joining our patron. Well, it's technically it's Patreon. Y'all the patrons. It is the Patreon. We don't make the rules. That's just, it is what it is. But Charlie, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to tell them and prospective patrons what type of bonus content they can expect inside our Patreon.
Absolutely. So our top dedicated patrons can expect things like Netflix parties where we talk during movies and we like chat on the computer while we watch some kind of horror movie that our patrons get to vote on. They also get to join us on Google Hangouts and do things, and we just chat one-on-one, not about podcast necessarily. Sometimes it comes up. They also get a exclusive shirt after 3 months, one of a kind design, cannot buy it. Talk about being bribed before. You cannot bribe us for this design, probably. And then we also have things like games. We have Do You Believe the Bizarre? We have social media responses where every Monday we post a question on Instagram and other places, and we talk about your answers and we talk about the questions themselves. It's a lot of fun, a lot of tangents in that too. But things like that you can expect from our Patreon. There's more things, but I'm going to cut right there because it's a good sample.
Yeah, we got to get you to actually go there and see what other stuff. But we outline it all. A lot of stuff. Ringtones, wallpapers. We really appreciate everybody who joins and supports the podcast. Helps us out a lot. We love doing the bonus content. And we seriously thank you. But with that said, let's move on to the discussion. All right, Charlie. So we have three encounters. We got Hawaii. We got ghosts. We got soggy senoritas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we got potential interdimensional felines and black holes in the form of a rectangle. I got a couple questions. Just any other thoughts, opinions? What is striking you right now?
Yeah. I don't know. Do you know if Hawaii is on a ley line?
That's a good question. I don't know.
There's a lot of strange things that happen there. And I wonder if there's a mix of dimensional play mixed with like ghostly things, because I think that woman is probably a ghost.
I wonder if, like, you know, I don't know how, when it comes to the idea of like spirits traveling, you know, those are things that I don't know. If somebody tells me they know exactly how they travel, I don't believe them. I think it's an unknown. But if you think about it, like Ohio, mm-hmm. if something happens here, is there a chance that the spirit could drift to Indiana or Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, if you think about everybody on Hawaii, if you think spirits are people who have passed energy or whatever, are they going to go to the ocean? You know, I feel like maybe it's just so secluded. It's surrounded by all this water.
Yeah.
You know what is actually really interesting? And this is a little bit of a tangent. And I apologize, but I will not remember. But it goes back to something that we've talked about over a year ago.
Okay.
Because we're like, why does memory hold water, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is true. Please don't fact check me. Please don't say Tyler said this is a fact. This is something I've read, and I swear to God, I think it was on Twitter. So I'm not saying it's fact.
Okay.
There's
an idea, though.
Somebody believes that there's a difference between different types of water. And I think it was based on how water in like space or water on a different planet was discovered. But they were like, it's not really H2O. Or water can be H2O, but there's like another, there's like a fourth form of water. So like there's gas, liquid, and ice. But they were saying there's a fourth, and what makes that fourth one different is the memory.
Oh, okay.
So like when you add, I don't know if it's not like H3O, you know, I don't know the science. I quickly skimmed it. It was late at night, but I remember thinking it was interesting. I'm not saying we're going to be putting out an episode like what is water, but it's something we talked about in the Ohio University episode, and it's been brought up multiple times since. But somebody out there is strong with a strong conviction is saying that water in all forms is an H2O, and that what makes it unique is the idea that it could actually hold memories.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting idea. I think I like that. I think that's a cool idea. I wonder, are there a difference between salt and fresh?
Could be. Imagine you're like in a really good mood and you're like, oh, I could really use a glass of water, and you drink it and it's like a memory of like somebody who got their toe
violent death
toe stubbed is what
oh.
I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
But then all of a sudden you're just really sad.
Yeah.
Water make that's why I just drink, you know, Mio. Mio cancels that shit out.
Can I tell you
not a sponsor.
A guy walks into a bar joke.
Yeah.
So two guys walk into a bar. The first guy goes to the bartender and he goes, "I'll have a glass of H2O." And the bartender gives him a glass of water. And then the other guy that came in with him goes, "I'll have a glass of H2O too." And he gives him this glass and they both do a shot together. And the second guy died.
Yeah.
You know why?
Because it's O2.
Yeah, because it's hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
Stupid idiot.
But his throat was clean.
I'd say so.
There were no more cuts in his throat. No infections.
They're all cleaned out.
Yep. It's yeah. good to go.
That's good.
That's morbid.
I think that's a chemistry joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably two people out there that are happy with that joke.
That's
so,
it.
I'm sorry. I cut you off because I was thinking about the water thing because it was something we had talked about previously. Where were you at with your thoughts on the episode?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a mix of...
Oh,
like,
you were talking about it being haunted. We
some
were talking
kind
about
of
close.
Haunting. Yeah. I think that the last story is very scary in an ambivalent kind of way. Because it's a ghost that was, something was holding her down.
Yeah. So my question, one of my questions is, and we went there, so I'm going to ask you, do you think that the woman that she saw laughing joyfully and wet is the same thing that was holding her down? Time-wise, it would make sense, but based on how it acted, maybe not?
I don't think so. I don't think so because the woman was wet, right?
Yeah.
She heard a sink turn on. I think what was happening was
a reenactment.
It was a reenactment of the woman's death, and she was that woman.
So she was, okay, so something was holding the woman down, and drowning her. And she was a joyful person.
Yeah.
And she, so her spirit came, okay, so.
And she showed her how she died. That's my guess.
Jeez. Ugh. I think that is.
Had you not thought of that?
Well, I was trying to think if it'd be the same person or not, but I think it's like, it's the idea of whether she was held down by, like whether the joyful spirit controlled the moment to show her how she died, or if that thing that whatever killed her came for Alyssa. But the way you wrapped it, I think was really nice. And I hadn't thought of it in that exact context. No, I think that's really logical.
I think it was a showing rather than actual the thing that killed the happy person, because it probably wouldn't have stopped.
Yeah. Imagine she woke up and her like whole like pillow was wet.
Oh my God. Ugh. I mean, even worse.
Yeah. No, I don't like it because it's sad, but I like the way you put that together. So she was being shown by this entity in her house, this is how I died.
Yeah.
But then she woke up and she's laughing and she's like, "But you didn't die. You're fine. But that's how I died. But it's okay. Have a good night."
That's good.
Yeah. But also, so okay. So I got two sides of the coin here.
Okay.
And I want to get your opinion on this. So I think there's a chance that it was fake because she said my sister had just been studying and doing a report on sleep paralysis.
Okay.
And remember, the guy said, one of the guys working on the house told her dad that he saw a woman in the window or in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Is that before or after?
It was before. Because okay. It was before the process of her going in to clean it. That was okay. During the building process. They go in to clean.
Okay.
So she's going to sleep having in her subconscious, my sister did a sleep paralysis report and this guy saw a woman in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to sleep with these biases already. So okay. Is there a chance that it could have just been a very lucid or very vivid dream?
I absolutely think it could have been, for sure. It could have been some kind of dream. Yeah, that makes sense because she's got these factors that are outside of her body. Now, does that discount everything? No way. But it's definitely an option.
Now, on the flip side of that, I don't think that she had sleep paralysis because she could move her body. She could turn her head. She could reach. If she could reach, and I, you know, maybe I'm 100% wrong here. Like she says that she thought she had sleep paralysis, but I think it actually. The fact that she could reach under her pillow and grab her flashlight and turn it on and move her head.
Yeah.
I think actually gives validation to the fact that there was an entity holding her down. And she
right,
was,
she was
not,
able to move to some extent.
Because, yes. So rather than it being scientific and she was experiencing sleep paralysis and had hallucinations, I think the fact that she can move at all, if it's not a dream, like this is all assuming it wasn't a big dream.
Mm-hmm.
I think it actually validates the fact that there was something holding her down. and she was experiencing that.
I also think the fact that it pushed harder after she started to move.
Yeah, I don't know the ins and outs of that, like, type of thing. If you can control that in sleep paralysis, I have no idea. But, like, if you think about it in the context of what she was experiencing and what she was claiming was happening, yes, it makes sense. Like, not experiencing sleep paralysis, something was forcefully holding her down, and she got to see the reenactment or the outcome, like the faucet, somebody like turning on a bath, like pushing them down.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting. And I know she said she did research and there was nothing about the name Catherine, but imagine finding out like there was a murder or like a suicide from somebody drowning in the bathtub named Catherine. Like, what? I think that actually wraps the third story up nicely. I think not nicely, but it, you know, if you're believing that it's paranormal in any extent, I think her being shown, because this isn't the first time. I mean, remember we did that one story, but where was it?
Scribner Hill.
It was a Scribner Hill episode where they were saying that they were shown little girls and the axe.
Yeah, and she felt the axe or something.
Yeah, oh, so like this isn't the first time we've heard about this, and obviously other people have other experiences and stories too, but I think that cleans it up nicely. But I'm still stuck on the cat getting in and out, whether it's a time loop, whether
that's wild to me.
Whether the entire house is something unusual and she just saw a moment of it with the black void, or if like going through it, the cat, I don't know. I mean, I don't expect to come to a conclusion. I'm pleased that I feel like the third story is wrapped like a bow, ready for Christmas coming up next month, which is a great time to get some Believe in the Bizarre merch, just throwing it out there. But I think that one's nicely wrapped up where Encounter 1 and 2, I have a lot of questions, but I have to be okay.
You have. I don't know. Not knowing. It could have been an entity letting the cat in and back out, right?
I guess. I mean, that's one option, and that's how it kept getting in and out.
Why would it keep coming in?
Or it was bringing the cat in.
Yeah.
Like, not letting it in, bringing it in.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like the cat would be more freaked out than I do.
Cat seen some shit. All right, so at here at the Believing the Bizarre podcast of paranormal conspiracies and myths, we like to use our believability scale. We go from believable to viable to skeptical to unbelievable and rate these episodes. So, Charlie, let me ask you Alyssa's story. We have three encounters. We got ghosts, interdimensional beings, potentially, interdimensional black voids, potentially. Where do you rate Alyssa's encounter on that scale?
So, based on the encounters we got, and there have been many questions we have about the cat and the void.
Yes.
So, one and two leave many questions I have. And the third one could be wrapped up really nicely.
I feel like you answered it. I don't know if that, I would love to hear from Alyssa after this episode comes out to see if she thinks that there's a chance that she was shown that ghost's death.
Yeah. But also I do think there is validation in what you said too, that the two things that happened to her could have been outside factors. Her sister just did a report on sleep paralysis.
The subconscious, yeah.
And then the story about the woman. So that could be part of it too. So I'm going to go with viable.
That I'm between viable and believable. I don't know. It, like, I have a hard time justifying what could have happened. Like, three, I think, even though three is, like, the main part of the story, like, she, in her mind, it led up to three. She told me that. I'm not a mind reader. I think three is the one that could lend itself to being viable. Encounter one and encounter two make no sense. And I don't think she's lying.
No.
And I don't know how to scientifically or rationally explain them away.
I don't think the first one is a ghost. I don't. I think it's a time loop. I think that's what that is. That makes most sense to me.
Which could then tie into encounter two. Like, absolutely. Seeing that thing could be the gateway.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying that they're not easily explained away.
No
and
way.
I can't even try. Like, us making a time loop is not scientific.
No.
That's still sci-fi.
No. Right.
I don't.
For sure.
Like, three, I can be like, external sub is affecting her subconscious, making her have this vivid dream.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't have that for one and two.
No, I have no answers there.
I have nothing.
My sister did a report on time loops also.
She was very busy in Hawaii. So I would love to hear in the comment section on Facebook or Instagram when we post this episode, your thoughts or the extended discussion, which we're going to be doing Tuesday.
Yeah.
As long as Charlie's not at the dentist. He might be at the dentist today.
I don't like the dentist.
I don't like the dentist.
But we'll know. By the time this drops, we'll know. But let us come chill with us on Twitch and let us know. But I have no explanation for those. And just for that fact alone, I'm going believable. Because until I can disprove it, if it was just encounter three, I would be in between skeptical and viable. I would. But I can't. And it actually, it's very rare that I can. So I'm going to go believable because it's strange to me. And maybe that'll change down the road. But for now, that's where I'm at. So thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode. Again, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. If you celebrate it, we know you don't, Kyrie. You don't have to let us know. And I hope you got some cool stuff on Black Friday or Cyber Monday. I'm going to be transparent here for a second. In the past, we've done stuff like that for Believe in the Bizarre. But we're more interested in people having our stuff rather than like insane profit. Mm-hmm. So we use the platform Teespring to ship our merch and dice at pretty much everything Believe in Bizarre related.
It's true.
And you get to set your prices. They give you the base and then you set your price.
Yeah.
And we always do it like almost as low as the platform will typically let us. Mm-hmm. So we like logistically cannot do like 15% or 20% off, because then Teespring will be like, nope, that's below the wholesale price. Yeah, yeah, the baseline. So we don't have like a Black Friday sale, but I am proud that the stuff that we put out is like the minimum it can possibly be.
As low as we can go.
Yeah, because I really don't care. Like I would rather have 100 people wearing a BTB shirt than only 10 because 90 people couldn't afford it.
Right. If this was like a commercial from the 90s, be like, whoa, I'm Crazy Charlie and I can't go lower on my prices.
Because the deals are so good. I can't. Yeah. And maybe that won't always change. I mean, Teespring likes to change stuff a lot on us. Shout out Teespring. I mean, we've had issues, but you know, they do put out good stuff. So if it's getting close to Christmas time, if you want something BTB related or you're shopping for someone who you know is a BTB fan, check out the website, go to Shop Merch. See what we got on there. Unfortunately, we can't do a 20% off Black Friday, even though by the time you listen to this, doesn't matter anyway. And if you don't see something you want size-wise, just send us a DM and mm-hmm. we can hook you up. But if anyone wants anything BTB related for Christmas, it's there for you if you'd like it.
And you like this episode, want to hear more from us, if you're on Apple, give us a review and 5 stars. And if you're on Spotify, just 5 stars. That's all you got to do. We'd appreciate a lot.
That's right. So I hope everyone, again, had a great holiday weekend. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are.
That's not the story. I'm just going to mess.
I was like, oh, I'm cool. Paranormal.